Welcome to the JP Shadrick Podcast. I'm JP Shadrick, and today is Tuesday, August 2nd. This is our weekly look at news and people around the Jaguars organization. We're back. Training camp is in full swing, and after a few weeks of relaxation and some vacation thrown in there, this podcast is back as well. Sorry to keep you hanging, but the Jaguars radio studios are getting back functional again, finally. There is a new newsroom office for the Jaguars.com crew next door with controls into the radio studio. And now each and every radio show this year will have video simulcast on Jaguars.com. And the radio portion of the studio is up and running, but we're a couple of weeks out from being fully functional on the video side. And with training camp underway, this is always the busiest time of the year around Everbank Field, when the football and the business sides are both working to their maximum. The football side is on the field finally, a few practices into building the roster, and the business side is wrapping up deals for the 2016 season and wrapping up construction and renovations on the U.S. Assure clubs. Today we'll get back on the business side with Nick Sobick, the Jaguars Director of Strategic Initiatives, and he's the man responsible for heading up the renovation of the U.S. Assure clubs at Everbank Field, and also the next project, the amphitheater and flex field on the south end. We'll discuss how the process went for the clubs and what happens now with a new project in the hopper already. But first, let's get to some news from around the Jaguars organization. Monday, the Jaguars unveiled the newly renovated U.S. Assure clubs at Everbank Field. Nearly $27 million of investment and 30,000 man-hours transformed the clubs into a state-of-the-art exclusive space. And for Jaguars president Mark Lamping, it's a space that fans should enjoy for years to come.
You know, I've always believed, and thankfully, you know, Shad agrees, that, you know, when you have an aging facility, it's even more important that you invest the money so that facility can evolve, and that each year fans can be looking forward to, well, what's the next thing that's going to happen? And I think as far as what's happened over the course of the last 2 years, 3 years, and what's going to happen between now and next spring will be even more impactful.
For U.S. Assure CEO Ty Petway, a lifelong Jaguars supporter, the continued renovation to Everbank Field is incredible for Jags fans.
We've been part of this organization for a long time, but dealing with Mark and Shad and this staff is really like nothing else. I mean, it's easy. We've been in it from the beginning. Very open communications back and forth. The expertise in the building is really comforting to work with. So it's been a great process, finished on time, and you know, it couldn't have been any easier, really.
According to the team, from January 2012 until spring of 2017, Shad Khan and the city of Jacksonville will together have spent more than $170 million improving Everbank Field and the surrounding area. And part of the additions to the clubs includes a new food and beverage partner, Delaware North. And there was a sampling event Monday after the ribbon-cutting ceremony, and it was all pretty spectacular, in fact. Really exciting stuff coming for the club areas this season. Now to football. Jaguars veterans reported to training camp last Wednesday, and that day head coach Gus Bradley addressed the media for the first time since returning. And there are high expectations around Jacksonville for the 2016 edition of the Jaguars, and that can be a challenge for Bradley's message the past three seasons.
I just have a firm belief that people will rise to the level of expectation. I just believe that. I think it's important now. You talk to most coaches, they'd say, but those expectations, it's like goals. Are goals good? Well, if they're realistic, you know, if they're, you know, but I said realistic high expectations, because I really firmly believe they'll rise to the level of expectation as long as a realistic but high expectation.
There are plenty of eyes on the defensive side of the ball as well. Plenty of additions in free agency and plenty of high-profile draft picks were added this offseason. And the question will be, how will they all mesh? One of those questions is, how will Miles Jack work into the defense? Paul Posluszny is the Jaguars' starting middle linebacker, but is entering his 10th NFL season. Jack was a second-round pick and worked the entire offseason at that middle linebacker spot. It's a unique position for Posluszny to be in, working to keep that middle linebacker job, but also getting Jack ready for his role.
I think the mindset will be the same in the fact that I want to do everything that I can to be an asset for this team, you know, to play at my highest level. And I also realize the situation where Miles is – he's you know, the future linebacker of the organization, and it's I feel like it's part of my job as a veteran guy to help bring him along as fast as we can, because we need him on the field. You know, he's going to be a great player. You know, we got to see a little bit of him at the end of mini camp, but so it'll be an exciting training camp to get him up to speed and get him learn everything as fast as we can, because he's an asset to the group, and we need him out there.
Free safety Tashawn Gibson is one of the new additions in free agency, and his impact should have implications on all levels of the defense. And his impact should hopefully include some interceptions, too, which the Jaguars' defense has not been known for the last few seasons. And for Gibson, those are a vital part of any defense.
Getting the ball and turn them over, and sometimes that's, I think that's one of the things that, you know, I think that bringing that attitude and that swagger, and I think that people understanding, you know, what turnovers can do for, you know, not just individually, but, you know, for the defense as a unit. And I think that that's major, you know, and I think that all the guys in the back end, we pride ourselves on getting the ball. And I think that a lot of the guys, they feel, you know, they feel up to the challenge. You know, I know a lot of the guys, you know, interceptions and, you know, getting turnovers wasn't a big part of the Jaguars' defense. But I think that that tide going to change. And, you know, I can't say that, you know, I'm solely to blame for that. But, you know, I take credit if y'all give it to me.
On the offensive side, how does the unit build upon last year's record-breaking season? It could start on the offensive line, and there could be a new look on the left side. Kelvin Beachum and Luke Jokel are in a battle for the left tackle position, with the player losing that gig likely to play at left guard. It's a battle so far in camp, though Beachum is still trying to fully recover from an ACL injury and has not worked in one-on-one line drills as of yet. He has seen team reps at both left tackle and left guard, as has Luke Jokel. Plenty of reps to go around, and the battle will go as long as it needs to find the best left tackle for this offense. As for the rest of the offense, the guys from last year you expect to do well so far are, again, that's Allen Robinson. He still looks like a Pro Bowler. Allen Hurns is off to a solid start, and tight end Julius Thomas will be a weapon once again. For the most part, the Jaguars have been healthy in camp. Rookies Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack are both on the field contributing, as is Dante Fowler Jr., who looks really eager to play another team already. The only real hiccup so far includes wide receiver Marquise Lee, who's missed a couple of days of practice with a hamstring strain, but he sounds confident that it is nothing major, and he could be back in a couple of days. And finally, away from the field, a shout-out to Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times-Union. He wrote a feature article on Jaguars manager of football administration Kirsten Groves and her rise to the NFL and now through the Jaguars organization. A really strong article and a recommended read. We continue off the field today. The U.S. Assured clubs are open for business, and the man behind that project, Nick Sobick, Director of Strategic Partnerships for the Jaguars. Good to see you. What's up?
Great to see you. Hey, I was telling you earlier that I always wonder how to get on your show. I always wonder what's it like behind the glass. And so you're probably saying thank you for joining the show today, but I'm saying thank you to you for having us. It's a pleasure.
Well, and you've got a special guest with you, Tom Chuperkoff from Populous, the architect and designer behind this. What's up, Tom?
One of the architects.
You're the main man. Don't lie.
I'm just a face.
You're a very important
face.
Just
kidding, no.
Glad to have you here.
No, thanks for having me.
It's finally done. It opened on Monday, officially, the ribbon cutting. Is it a relief for both of you guys, Nick, start and kind of tell us the whole process here? I mean, after this, cramming this into like 5 or 6 months, it's finally on time.
Well, so first of all, I was a little bit uncomfortable when you said we're done, because we're not.
Wait a minute. Okay.
We're not done. We at the end of the project, this is actually probably one of Populous's most favorite tasks, but they have to create a punch list. So every single speck of paint that needs to be touched up, you know, it ended up being about 35 pages long. So over the next, you know, 2.5 weeks before the season, we're working on a 35-page long punch list. So today, to the untrained eye, it may seem done, but we have about 2 weeks left worth of work.
Is that a challenge, 35 pages, Tom?
You know, no, it'll be fine. There's a lot of little things on there, like scuff marks that can easily be pushed out, but there's some tough ones in there. But it's all about the relationship. Our CM partner, our contractor, has a lot of work to do, and some of the things are we just kind of help them get through.
When you first get the call from the Jaguars, hey, we want you to design this double-deck club thing on both sides of the field, what does an architect's mind do at that point?
Completely blows the budget.
Right.
No, you come up with great ideas. You come up with, I mean, like I just was sitting there today, yesterday reminiscing about how I remember one of the ideas was to have a glass wall up at the concourse tunnel so that the onlookers that passed the general could look down, and just thinking like, wow, okay, well that, you know, took, you know, a couple of days to get out and move on. And you just start to challenges. How do you pull an old building that's 20 plus years old out and start putting elevated platforms in to be occupiable? Yeah. Like those are, you know, knowing that Mark mentioned all the steel that no one will ever see, trying to kind of figure out what the correct methodology is to go in places. That's what you start thinking about.
Nick, you're the point man for the Jaguars on this project and the projects. We'll get to those coming up down the road at the south end of the stadium here. So, is that a challenge, collecting all the collective Jaguars' thoughts and saying, hey, let's move forward with this, let's move forward with this? Was it new for you?
You know, I've been asked probably the most common question over the last 6 months as the project was coming together, what makes a great project? What makes you so sure that this is going to be successful? So I would say two things. Number one, you need the best architect in the world. And number two, you need one of the best construction managers in the world. And we were so thoughtful about the beginning of the process that, you know, once we had Populous on board, once we had Brassfield and Gorrie on board, it was smooth sailing, would be a little light, but it was very, I mean, the way I look at it is a 26-week-long project, and we spent $26 million. So to be confident over the course of 6 months spending $1 million a week, you need those two people in place. So
that's the challenge up front. How long was the process to get those two in place, Populous and Brassfield and Gorrie? You went through a lot of proposals, I'm sure.
I would say the actual process of evaluating the construction manager and architect was as long as the project itself.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of contemplation on what the project was before, you know, you could even start to ascertain who the right partner is from a contractor standpoint. I would argue that that selection process probably was longer than the actual construction period of time.
Wow. Nick Sobick, Tom Chuprikoff with us. The U.S. Assured clubs are open for business. These are the two big guys in charge of that project. And it's not done yet. 35 pages of punch list are going through that over the next few weeks. Now, guess what? It's never done, Mark Lamping says. There's always something down the pike here, and I know that the process of the South End is well underway with the tunnel and all that, but the theater and the flex field, you're already knee-deep in that, Nick, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, so I think Tom's going to go home, and he's going to take a very long, well-deserved nap.
Back to Kansas City.
Although my home is Florida, just for all our listeners.
But as soon as that nap's over, he's got some more work to do. So
it's nonstop, huh?
We spent $1 million a week on the club renovation project. I think the next project that we're working on, we're probably going to target something more like $2 million a week. So
why not keep going up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fun though, right, Tom? When there's a partner like this, the Jaguars, that's trying to move things forward and have grand and big ideas, an owner like Shad Khan has huge ideas, to put those to paper and actually see it come to life is pretty cool.
That's my favorite part. It's just kind of like from, you know, inception to reality is like just the you know, it's amazing. Like being able to contemplate an idea, go through all the arguments to get to the idea, actually do the drawings, get the project built, and then to be in it at the end it's like, you know, there's a great book, the Henry Beckwith, Selling the Invisible, and it's all about the intangible. And it's like being able to create like the thing that nobody understands. And then they walk into the space and they're like, ah, I get it. That's what this was about. Holy crap. You did this in 6 months or 9 months in our case. It's the best job on the planet.
I think there was a little bit of that today or on Monday during the official opening with people who have not seen the U.S. Assured clubs for the first time. So the amphitheater and the flex field. What is the biggest challenge right now, Nick, for this project moving forward? Is there anything? Is it green light? Everything's green lighted and ready to go, right?
For the most part, we'll call it somewhere between a green and a yellow light. And just because this project's so important, just because it absolutely needs to be iconic, we're taking our time with it, and we're being thoughtful about every minute detail. So Tom's like laughing.
Yeah, he's making faces over here.
You're my boss.
I know. So I think probably why you're smiling and or laughing is let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the creative process.
I think this is
probably very helpful for some of your listeners.
Perfect.
So I learned a lot about the creative process through both the Club Renovation Project and the Amphitheater Project. And, you know, not to disturb the creative process, the direction, generally speaking, to an architect is draw something awesome. And then after you draw something awesome, we'll talk about how much it costs.
That makes sense.
Historically true, yeah.
Okay, sure.
So, and actually, that it seems like the best process to be able to follow to get a really sort of epic, iconic project like what we're going for.
Keywords.
Epic and iconic.
Buzz, yeah.
And budget. Buzz, let's add a third. But no, so what happened throughout this process is I think probably round one, we got a little bit of sticker shock between what our budget was and what the early imagination or the early concept was. And what Tom talks about as his favorite part of the process is the back and forth where you preserve all the extremely important details, like how the building looks and how it functions and what a concert goer's experience is going to be like, and you know how cool it's going to be for the football players when it's 95 degrees outside. All those things have to be, you know, preserved. But the process of dialing back the budget and getting a project in scope is the challenge, but also the fun behind it.
Yeah, because you get to really kind of sort out the needs and wants, right? And sometimes you do get a little aggressive, mm-hmm. and it's like, man, wouldn't it be really epic if you could do this, 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 and that? And I'm like, yeah, but maybe we can just do this and that. So just trying to keep everyone honest with the one mission, and I think this project team has done a really good job trying to stay on. There's really five parts and pieces to this project that are instrumental to mm-hmm. be a completed project, not a completed, a successful project at the end of the day. That's capacity, that's experience, that's function of the amphitheater and the covered flex field, being able to allow the city of Jacksonville to mm-hmm. use it at will. And like, I have this vision of like this really cool Donzie boat show in front of the amphitheater with the doors open, like with the scallop front. And I think that's going to be epic. And it's going to be really cool for Jacksonville, man. And I'm glad it's only 9 months, because in 10 months I can really take a nap.
speaking of that turnaround, right? I mean, it's supposed to be done. Mark Lamping Monday was talking about Memorial Day weekend. Let's have some events in here, right? That's a lot of pressure, Nick.
One of the – actually, that's – for me, the launch date is the most fun part of the project, because when we do have a moment to sort of relax, we all, you know, have an opinion on who should open the amphitheater or who's going to be here on day one.
Well, it's my birthday that weekend, so let's make sure we have a good performance.
So any suggestions? Who would open the amphitheater if you had to choose, you guys, right now, since you're building the darn thing?
May I go first?
Please.
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty.
He's a Florida boy right down the street. Yeah. that'd be that mud crutch, right?
Like, that's, bring yeah. that
out. That'd yeah. be cool.
That's a pretty good group.
So first of all, before I answer the question, I would like to say that the caveat is we have no idea.
We don't know what that is.
Well, we have absolutely no idea.
Okay, go ahead.
We have absolutely no idea if these people are available on that date.
True. I was just hypothetically.
We haven't spoken to any of these artists yet.
Okay.
But Jay-Z is my vote.
Okay.
That doesn't mean we're going to get Jay-Z.
Wow.
But,
clearly we have a difference of music.
Yeah.
What if you had them both? Because you have two separate a field and an amphitheater, right?
Like Run DMC
and
Aerosmith. That's a nice
team them up, right?
What
have
do
a
you
big
think?
Festival.
What do you, yeah, who's your vote?
I'd probably go local, right?
Okay.
Tedeschi Trucks Band. They're season ticket holders. They're here in Jacksonville. They're up and coming. No.
What do you think? We pack the house.
I think you probably would.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you would. Yeah. They're
trick
bigger.
Question. How many seats are we building?
5,000, right?
That's pretty close.
Pretty close.
In that ballpark. Is that right?
5,500, 6,200, somewhere around there.
Oh, yeah, it's still in the – it could waver a little bit, huh?
Yeah, so one of the interesting
– Oh, yes. The architect's like, whoa.
No, one of the interesting parts of the amphitheater is it's flexible, so that the mosh pit area, if you're having a symphony or a sit-down type of event, you can do, you know, folding chairs – and put about 500 people in that area.
How about that?
But if you're doing a Jay-Z concert and you really want to fully utilize the mosh pit, you could probably get more like 1,000 people. So So that's why that number changes based on the event type.
750 by code.
Based on the performer.
That's really interesting to know. I never thought about that. So this is going to have multiple purposes throughout the year, calendar year, football, off weekends, off season as well, mm-hmm. and we're looking forward to that. So you're going to come back when, Tom?
Oh, I'm here all the time.
You're going away for a nap, though.
Yeah, yeah. But I sleep on the plane. Then I literally get off the plane, just turn around, pack my bag, and come back. In fact, we'll probably get an apartment because there'll be a lot of people here. So we'll be here often.
And when are you going to sleep, Nick? You're always
here. He doesn't.
You know, it's funny. So that it never stops. Right. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do in front of us with the amphitheater. And I'm on pins and needles about the next project after the amphitheater. So we'll see about the sleep thing. But I'm excited to see what's down the road already.
Guys, it's really good to see you. Appreciate you coming. I know it's a busy time, and we just had a nice celebration this week for the U.S. Assured Club, so very timely. Nick Sobick, Tom Chuprikoff, good to see you guys. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Coming up this week, more Jaguars practices open to the public. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the Jags are on the field, and then Friday night, the annual Florida Blue Family Night with Nickelodeon. The Jags and Nickelodeon have teamed up for a kids' zone in the south end of Everbank Field during the annual team scrimmage this Friday, and the gates open at 5:30. You have to register for free admission at jaguars.com/family night. If you can't make it out to Everbank Field this Friday, we'll have live coverage of the scrimmage on jaguars.com. We're looking forward to a great night on the website. Also on radio, the flagship home of the Jaguars, 1010XL, will have live coverage. They'll kick it off at 6:30. The first preseason game is Thursday, August 11th against the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Can you believe it's a little more than a week away? Our thanks to Nick Sobick, Jaguars Director of Strategic Partnerships, for joining us. And as always, a special thanks to Jags Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Thanks to you for listening. I'm JP Shadrick, and we'll talk to you next week on the JP Shadrick Podcast.